Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, men's rights attorney Marilyn York joins us, and Ray Hager, Lucas Folletta, and Jesse Wadhams are on the pundit panel. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program, internationally famous now through Comedy Central, men's rights attorney Marilyn York. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thanks so much, Sam. Great to be here.
Okay, so what in the world happened a couple of months ago where you went from just men's rights attorney, which is big enough, now you're in real estate? What's going on?
Well, when I see a need and I can't fix it any other way, I sometimes just do stupid things and take a leap and jump into a new profession. I think I was hormonal, to be perfectly honest, because I'd just given birth and my dad came up with this brainchild, one of his many. And usually I say no and shut the door in his face. This time, I guess the hormone entry said, oh, that's a great idea. Sure, I have some free time. And so here we are. We've launched Esquire Realty. It's Marilyn York's Esquire Realty, and it's a brokerage for attorney realtors. I have Whitney DeGesti, who is of the DeGesti family through marriage locally. She is an attorney realtor, and she is managing the business, and I'm doing it part-time. I had to get my license, which was a fun affair when I had a four-week-old baby, three surgeries to get him out. So that was brilliant, but I managed to do it while up all night breastfeeding, and here we are.
So how's it going so far?
It's exciting. I like houses. I love architecture. I love real estate as far as the fun side of it. Anytime you have to make a living at something, it becomes immediately not as fun. I'm not, going to lie there. But it's been really interesting. The thing I have to figure out is how to juggle the schedule differences. Realtors know very well that it's more an evening and weekend career, and I frankly work enough, to be honest, probably 70-hour work weeks as it is. And then I run a charity in town. So I have negative zero free time. And I often show homes with my baby strapped to my body now. People are very kind. He only threw up on one floor so far. So I'm pretty excited. I cleaned it.
Somebody once said that if you want to get something done, ask a busy person, because a busy person will figure out how to carve
absolutely
out the time. So here's what I was curious about, because one of the things I love about you is your ability to size up people because of your work in the divorce field. How does that work in real estate? Are you able to figure out and negotiate based on the personalities of the people you're dealing with?
I try to make people happy, and that would probably shock people because I offend on the radio and on television constantly. But my real, true inner personality is try to make people happy for real reasons, not greed-driven, fame-driven, nothing like that. So far, I've worked with a couple friends, and so that's been really beneficial to me. I've done one email intervention where I said, I know you want to downsize, but with all due respect, you've lived a very charmed life. And if you put three kids in a house of this size, you're going to live my life. And it's not pleasant. And here's what a day looks like. Let me videotape my children fighting. And it's a weird thing for realtors to do because everyone just wants to close escrow. That's been my issue with real estate all along. And so I talked her out of downsizing to this level. And so she and her husband have to regroup and figure out what they really think they can handle. So I talked her out of a sale because they were ready to make an offer. And I don't care. I'm fortunately far enough in my career, as you indicated, to not need the money. I would never do a sale for that reason anyway. And so I think that's been a really cool thing. And so, yeah, sizing up people that I know is easy. Sizing up strangers, I'm still figuring out the real estate world. So far, I've been surprised to see that there's so much infighting and in mating, shall we say. There's been a lot of relationships that have come across my desk in my divorce world where realtors and mortgage brokers and title companies, there's some overlapping of some ladies and men. And then they don't show homes based on anger. And then they don't like review offers based on that or present them to their clients, appropriately, or they don't present them with favor. They basically talk their clients out of taking those offers based on their own personal feelings. And I've seen this 15 times in the last week. And wow, it's surprising to me. I mean, let's be honest. Lawyers aren't ethical masterminds. I'm not pretending we are. We're just boring or unattractive enough where we don't sleep with each other that much. I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be above the fray, but it is surprising. I feel like there's a reality television show in this. And I refuse to participate like that. I'm not interested in that. I don't want to perpetuate the gossip. I don't want to bring it down. I want to bring this profession up. And mine as well, always. So I'm interested and excited to, you know, bring the ethics of the legal world, because we have more to lose, to be honest. We lose our licenses and people are actually complaining about us, and we are regulated pretty well. So it's not self-motivated. I'm not, again, acting altruistic.
Okay. So how's the marketplace? Because the Tesla effect seems to have swallowed up the lower end and prices are rising dramatically at every level. How are you finding that versus inventory?
The low-end market is now in the 350-ish range, which is not very low-end, frankly, for your average, you know, wage that people earn in Reno. So it's pricing people out of the market very quickly. I mean, that used to be like a middle-class home. And so now it's the low-end and there's no inventory. I mean, none. There's like 15 days of inventory, according to some of the biggest real estate companies in town, and that's nothing. Whereas in the $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 range, there's like 3 to 4 years of inventory. So the market has a ways to go to catch up to that. What now is, I guess, the middle class home. Those are not selling, they're sitting. And then, of course, a million and up, it's going to take a year plus to sell those homes right now in the current market. And so that's flooded as well. The low end, it's unfortunate because it's also affected the rental market. And we see these poor people with barely a living wage, unable to even find something to rent. And that's scary. I mean, in light of the fact that my first love is my charity, which is a homeless girls home, it causes me great concern about affordable housing being more and more of an issue and more people will be on our streets. And so we need to deal with that. And our local government is starting to figure that out, which makes me very happy.
Yeah, the one of the interesting things is the builders are really not figuring out, along with the banks. The banks don't want to loan them money based on the recession. And the builders are very gun shy of what happened during the recession. And so all that's culminating in the fact that they're just not building nearly the amount of homes they need. Let's take a break. More with Marilyn York when we come back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Marilyn York. She's the men's rights attorney. Wanted to talk to you about your trip to L.A. To discuss TV projects. How did that go?
I guess it went well. It seems that we have one network interested in doing reality TV. I just finished having my office photograph last night to make sure it's pretty enough for television, which I'm very proud of my office. It's a beautiful 1929 building. And so luckily I'm in the real estate trade now, so I got it photographed. They also had me send them many anecdotal story ideas just to see what the business is like. And then I also am expecting an offer for a scripted series. I'm told that both are interested. And so a studio in Los Angeles is going to make that offer. And likely, being Los Angeles, they will make me choose because they like exclusivity like we all do. And so I will then have the moral dilemma. Do I exploit myself or do I let Cameron Diaz play me? Because that's the offer on the table. And so I'm very flattered, but strangely, when you have those conversations in your group of friends, who should play me in a movie? I hadn't really thought that through and didn't. I wasn't prepared when asked if I thought Cameron Diaz should play me. They expect me to be flattered. I am. She's adorable. And if my body looked like that, I wouldn't be doing this. Let me be telling you. But I'm not sure she's right. It's a like I have better ideas, in my opinion, with my no TV background. So we'll see.
Give us a couple of examples.
I like Kate Winslet. I like myself some layers, some grit. I feel like, you know, but they want dark comedy. So I get that. I don't know if she can play dark comedy. I also like Charlize Theron, but she's Botox in the face a little much. Like we all have to do in our 40s.
She's also like $20 million a movie.
I know. I love her. I think she has more, you know, grit ability.
You know, if she were going to play you, you would have to kick some behind.
Well, I'd have to have them come here and I'd have to teach them how to be me. Isn't that funny? Like that's part of the
right.
Which is so funny. I can't even imagine. So I'm sure we'll come up with someone good. There's apparently a movie where Cameron Diaz played an attorney and I didn't watch it. So I need to watch it and see how she does. She did a good job in Bad Teacher. She had a little angry grit. So that gave me some hope because she can certainly do comedy. But my kind of comedy is much drier, much more British, if you will, Sam,
to say the least.
That's why Kate Winslet came to mind.
Well, when are you going to know? Next couple of months?
Yeah, they're pushing hard on me getting them the information so they can formulate an offer. I have a very expensive attorney in Los Angeles. No one feels sorry for me except me. And so I will call him at $650 an hour and get some advice on what the avenues look like. And then probably have an all-out panic for a bit and then make some sort of weird snap decision that will affect the rest of my life, like I do every time I get married.
I sincerely hope that you get to have a role in this, not just have somebody play you, because I don't think there's any way they can really play you.
Oh, you've been talking to my dad, sweet little Sam.
Well, we are the basis of your worldwide fan club.
My two-person fan club. It's very sweet. But I also like the creative concept behind scripted work. I think it's really cool. I really enjoy writing, and I understand that I would have quite an active role in the writing process, and that thrills me to no end. It'd be nice to hide behind the scenes and just do creative work for once in my life. I think that'd be a really cool challenge.
Yeah, but you have these ad-lib skills that are unbelievable.
Maybe I could be a cameo on the show. The old, like, receptionist of The Office.
You know, I always love to get your take on people because you read body language so well. How's our president doing these days?
You know, I pay not enough attention, to be honest, because it's so negative. Everybody's negativity makes me tired. I don't like negativity as a general rule, even though my job could be if I wasn't dark. I think he's doing better than people expected, but worse than, you know, the people that liked him expected, somewhere in the middle. I thought when he became president, we'd find out how little presidents really do. And I think we're finding that out. Like, the world was supposed to come to an end, I believe, when he became elected. And it's not. It's pretty much the same with more negativity on social media about him. And yes, he's extremely embarrassing, like his unorthodox and unprofessional ways are. And yet, again, the world seems pretty similar, except, and again, this isn't an educated statement because I am super politically ignorant. But what I do see more of, which I hate seeing, is hate. I hate the bigotry. I hate the sexism, the racism. It's really disgusting and really scary. And the violence that seems to be increasing and more acceptable, I will give him some of the blame for because of his style of leading and, you know, having been guilty of a lot of those statements. It makes me sad.
How do you think Melania is handling the first lady job?
I don't even know. What is her job exactly? Being pretty. I mean, she's doing that very well. She's a very lovely person as far as physical people. I'm not sure. She's in the limelight a lot, but she's not certainly the leader that Michelle Obama was. And I don't know that Michelle Obama was sincere, to be honest, in reading body language. She seemed very, I was very off put by her. She seemed very arrogant to me. But her goals in mind, Michelle Obama's were lovely. Like, I like her health, you know, stance and her exercise stance. I think those are important messages to tell. I don't know that she necessarily exercised that much. She, to me, looked like she was naturally thin, just like Miss Trump. So I'm not sure they're the best people to tell me how to work out, because if I just look like that genetically, I'd probably never go to the gym.
Let me ask you one other quick question here.
Yes.
What do you think about the president having his family members, son-in-law, daughter, actively involved in the White House from your professional perspective?
Well, Sam, of all people, knows just how much my daddy is a stage daddy. I think it's fantastic, assuming they're qualified. I don't like people pulling in their friends and relatives just to give them jobs if they aren't qualified, but he certainly has some educated, you know, children. They may, in fact, be more so than himself in some instances. So I have no objection to it. I think a strong family is a good family. And I think Michelle and Barack Obama showed us that. They were a good team and they both played their roles very well. And it was modern in the sense that his wife had a lot of power. And I think that this particular combination with Trump's children is similar, you know, with the children as opposed to the spouse. And I respect it. I think it's great. Again, if they're qualified. I don't like, you know, shoving things under the rug or pat on your back. You got a job just because you're my child. But if you're qualified and you do it well, all the power to it.
And that's where we have to leave it. Marilyn York, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel with Lucas Folletta, attorney with McDonald Carano. Welcome back after an absence. It's a pleasure to have you back on the program. And Jesse Wadhams of counsel with Fenimore Craig and Ray Hager, our reporter for Nevada Newsmakers. So, Lucas, what do you make of what's going on in D.C. right now after John McCain's speech? As we're taping this, the speech was yesterday afternoon to the Senate.
Well, I think the senator made a lot of good points. I mean, it seems like we're on a sort of never-ending merry-go-round with respect to the healthcare issue. And I think in particular, Senator McCain's point about the Senate returning to regular order was a good one. It's a little bit of an esoteric point for most people, but the idea that these major policy issues in this country, get resolved through the political process more so than the traditional deliberative policymaking process that the legislative branch is supposed to go through, I think is a shame. And so I do think that to the extent that we can get back to a more deliberative approach, it makes a lot of sense.
I was listening to NPR yesterday afternoon, and one of the senators that serves with McCain on his military committees said that it's bipartisan, that everybody gets a voice and they get to discuss the issues and that they need to get back to that. That's what McCain's talking about.
Well, I think that's exactly right, Sam. I think the concept that it seems to me is that we have so far moved away from listening to each other and talking to each other and actually deliberating on issues. And it's both sides. I mean, it's the Republicans using budget reconciliation to deal with health care, but it was the Democrats filling the amendment tree a few years back when, so you've got both sides doing this. We really need to come back to some sort of middle and actually try to figure things out again.
Ray, your thoughts?
Well, Washington, it seems like courtesy has been thrown out the window, and people dislike each other, and Democrat versus Republicans, and we do our enemies around the world. And Lucas, you were talking about return to general order. If we had returned to general order, I don't know if we would still have a Supreme Court justice nominated in this or pass through the Senate. So it's a weird time. I don't think President Trump helps at all. I think he contributes to the log jam, and here we have Republicans holding the White House and both houses of Congress, and nothing is getting done other than executive orders.
You know, Lucas, doesn't this point to the fact, really, that a divided government is actually better for getting things done than one party controlling everything?
Well, I don't know if it's better for getting things done, but it certainly...
Well, you look at what happened with Obamacare. Reid had 60 votes in the Senate, and there was still a battle to be able to get to 60.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be a battle one way or the other. I think what we know for sure is that having the president in both chambers of the Congress coming from the same party doesn't necessarily solve any problems. But I think it's supposed to be that way. I mean, there's a reason that the filibuster exists in the Senate, at least for most issues. And so I think it's all the more reason to focus on the process as it's supposed to work. You know, the Senate, like we were alluding to before, is supposed to be the most deliberative body, you know, in the world. And it's certainly not acting like that right now.
And, you know, it's interesting. Congressman Amity on the program yesterday was talking about how the House of Representatives is sending over tons of legislation to the Senate where it just sits there. But as Lucas says, wasn't that the whole idea of the Senate was to slow things down?
Well, I think that Lucas makes the exact point. I think that our forefathers had thought it was the Senate was the cooling saucer to the populist House. So that's exactly what it's doing. And at least at that point, it is doing its job.
You know, I wanted to ask both of you, and I'll start with you, Lucas, how much of a hot seat is Senator Heller really on? I mean, when you look at the history of Nevada politics, that U.S. Senate race is always tight. Democrats like to say that he hasn't gained any votes, but really, has he really lost any?
I don't know if he's lost any, and I'm not sure exactly how hot it is. It seems to me that Senator Heller is going through a deliberative process unlike some other members of the Senate. He's clearly working through the issue. We know he's talking to the governor about what the governor thinks. That seems to me to be a smart thing to do since the governor, you know, runs state government and administers Medicaid on the state level. And I think that, you know, Senator Heller, given his vote, you know, to open debate, I don't think is an indication about where he's going on the issue. But I think he's at least open to discussing it, which seems like a responsible and a reasonable vote. I think the political implications of it are pretty serious for him. I mean, only because politics sometimes detaches from the policy reality. And clearly the politics are already at play for Senator Heller with respect to, you know, all these, I guess, liberal-leaning groups already coming out against him for how the position he took or was about to take on the vote. And then conservative groups are doing the same thing to him. So he's trying to thread a needle here. But so far, I think he's taking the right approach.
And it's interesting to see the power of Governor Sandoval in all of this.
Well, I think that point has been made a few times, that Sandoval holds an enormous amount of sway in this whole healthcare debate. I mean, you look at what he did with the Affordable Care Act, with the Medicaid expansion, and I think Nevada is one of the success stories to the extent we actually did the expansion. A lot of new lives that have insurance. So I think his pushing of Heller in certain ways is very good. I mean, I think it also bears noting that Governor Sandoval's chief of staff comes from decades in the health and human services area.
Yeah, to say the least, Mike Wilden. And that's where we got to leave it. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
We have more than a 10-year archive at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Check out shows anytime. We'll see you on the next broadcast.